Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 161, Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
Too bad it's not like episode 187.
Nice.
A murder of a cop?
What?
No, 187 is just a murder.
Isn't a murder of a cop.
999 is a murder of a cop.
Is that right?
Yeah, 187 is a homicide.
187 police officer.
Yeah, but we don't. The 10 codes are different.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
all different.
No, it's just
999 is the murder.
What was
of a cop.
What was the movie? 18 was it Sam Jackson?
Yeah.
187
is just homicide.
Yeah. Okay.
To the Google.
He doesn't. Sometimes you have to.
No, I'm not saying I don't believe.
To a police officer.
I just told you all 10 codes are different.
Yeah, but 187 is probably pretty.
There's
standard.
No nationwide 10 code. They don't exist, which is dumb. But
yeah,
that's
according to the Wikipedia.
Yeah,
which is never wrong.
Never wrong.
The number 187 has been used throughout the United States as a synonym for murder. The usage has been reported as far away as Florida, Wisconsin, and even the United Kingdom and Germany.
Interesting. Okay,
it's from the California Penal Code section 187.
That I did.
Subdivision A defines murder as the unlawful killing of a human being or fetus with malice aforethought.
Okay.
Right. Interesting.
There you go.
So, and then...
Thanks, Debbie Downer.
You asked. And then the 999 code, see if I'm right, is that coming up?
Thrilling. This is just...
I don't think they go that high.
Please read from the penal code,
I don't think they go that high.
Well, Deadpool would like you to read from the penile code. So this actually fits pretty well with the episode.
Hang on. Here's an article about police codes you're not meant to know.
So we're going to put them on the internet.
We can just skip the 999 part and say,
okay,
Joe, you're wrong. All right, let's go. Moving on.
The important thing is, Joe, that you were wrong.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's like it never happens.
Finally. Oh,
yeah. I don't
proven.
Know if you've ever heard of this code or not. 420?
What? I'm not. What's that on Wikipedia?
I'm not familiar with that. Is that the...
I think the kids use it a lot.
Do they?
The kids.
Is it about, like, the Xbox?
I think so.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Is that, like, an Xbox game?
Yeah, it's Xbox 420. That's the one that came out in between 360 and... Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they're counting...
Everybody wants the green one? I don't know.
Anyway, I guess we should go around and introduce ourselves. We'll let you go first since you were here on the last
episode.
Awesome.
I'm Chris Frank. I am the co-host of the Kelly Mano Show, and that's me.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm Joe.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Tom. So just some shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on the iTunes. We told you we would have your show sharers this episode, and have them we shall.
Yeah.
So here they are. Something called The Social System. I don't know what that is.
Oh, interesting.
But they're
is that different than The Social Network?
It is.
Okay.
But they're out of North Carolina, whatever.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
I don't know where they are, but I'll have to click through. I did it on the fly, so I didn't get to investigate. So I don't know who they are, but there they are. Brett Schulte. That's a new one.
That's a new one.
Right?
Yeah.
So, thank you, Brett. Ryan Breidenbrecker. Let's hang it. Breidenbecker. Let me see if I can remember to say it right. Linnea Thunsell.
There it is.
Did I get it right?
Linnea.
Son of a bitch.
Hold on. Let's go back to the tape for the robot pronunciation.
Yeah.
Linnea.
Are you sure that was that her? Did she send that?
Yeah.
Was that her voice?
No.
I
thought she had, like, recorded it and was like, here, you dummy.
No, YouTube like, actually has a channel for all, you know, names that need pronunciation.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Don't put my name in it.
Yeah, well, Joe.
I mean, the other one.
Whoa, oh, the other one. I'm like, that's not that hard. Yeah.
I'm going to come across this table, Kevin. I'm not even kidding.
So, Timmy Tuzoons, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Sanders, Brent Smith, Tom Comiskey, Travis Tewitt, Lane LeVanway, and Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. So, thank you, everybody, for sharing the show. If you would like to join our League of Show Sharers, we'd love to have you.
I'm about to put a missing persons out for Disneyland Matt, though.
I don't know.
I think he
liked my my Maltese Falcon picture, so he's still out there.
Okay.
So
he just doesn't like the show anymore.
He doesn't like the show anymore. There you go. So, Disneyland Matt. I think he's been... he clearly hasn't been abducted
by
the staff at Universal.
Unless the staff at Universal
hacked his Facebook.
Access to his Facebook and just started liking stuff.
Just to make sure
you understand that.
Throw people off the set.
That's right.
Oh, man. So crafty over there.
What I really want to know, it's been keeping me up at night. Did Lane ever get that energy drink deal off the ground?
With the lightning bolts?
Yeah, with the lightning bolts is spelling his name.
Right.
I'm not an energy drink guy.
Lane, if you did, send us some free energy drinks.
Or don't.
Oh, please.
I'm faithful to my Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
So
you can just put some sugar and some antifreeze. It's the same thing.
Very popular among dogs. So
what? That's
just
terrible.
Just once though.
Yeah, just once. Yeah. It's very expensive because there aren't a lot of repeat customers.
Yeah.
No.
Just once. Yeah. Just one time.
So I guess we will dig into Deadpool, shall we?
Yeah.
So I think Joe has a synopsis.
I do. First things first, I want to say this. I understand that Rob Layfield and created Deadpool.
Right.
I get that.
He gets a special thanks at the end.
Fine.
With tongue.
To me, he does not deserve... Like, he created the character, but he doesn't deserve all this praise. The two guys who deserve the praise are Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness, who did the Deadpool comic book. When he gave us this version of the character.
Right.
The version that Rob Layfield created is not... This he's a gritty, you know, no jokes, no thrills, no nothing mercenary. The version that we know and love was created by Ed McGuinness and Joe Kelly. So I want to get that out of the way. And I'm tired, and I hate Rob Layfield.
That happens a lot
with
comic book characters, that somebody creates it, and then somebody comes along and kind of has a different take on it.
Right.
Bob Kane created Batman and
makes it way cooler.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he created the character, and
well, he created the name.
Well,
Bill Finger did the rest. Yeah. Go look at that original Batman outfit and tell me.
Well, even
Bob
like
Kane.
Early Wolverines like that?
Yeah,
like
early. Well, and Wolverine, yeah, that's true, I guess.
Those Hulk ones are kind of, you know.
Yeah, the character is there, but it's flushed out by
Frank. Got to give credit where credit's due, though. You create the character, you know, but I get what you're saying.
I have no problem like with Rob Layfield, but Rob Layfield has gone, you know, jerked himself off numerous times to the idea of this Deadpool movie, and like, you created the guy, but you didn't create the guy.
Which you wouldn't think he'd be able to. I would think that his wrists would be so thin.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't draw feet, so that's how he... Yeah, and F. Rob Layfield, he's awful.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So now that's
out
of the way.
Here we go. All right, so this movie... I feel like we need to even start at the credits, because...
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah. The opening credits are incredible. Yeah.
It sets the tone almost immediately.
It does.
For this movie.
I love that they hit the ground running with the credits that no one's name... Nobody. It's not like Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. The entire thing starts off with, like, you know, some douchebag.
Yeah, some douchebag films and...
Right, and then, like, you know, the hot girlfriend or the... generic British villain, gratuitous cameo,
moody teenager,
moody teenager,
CGI character.
Right. Yeah, and so I like
directed by some rich douchebag or something.
Right, and immediately I was like, okay.
And then the writers are the real heroes.
Yeah, right.
And then the music that's playing.
Yeah,
too.
it was very reminiscent. So I guess I thought that the guys that were involved with Zombieland were involved with this at one point. So, like, the opening credits are very reminiscent of Zombieland, but they don't.
I think the opening credits are reminiscent of Scott Pilgrim. I think that's where Tim Miller's experience with the visuals like that, because the way that it's, like, you know, kind of frozen, it almost looks Watchmen-esque with, you know, like, the opening credits of Watchmen and things going in slow motion. Like, that's the same kind of stuff that he did in Scott Pilgrim, like, some of those visual effects. So, I think that's where you're getting the influence.
Yeah, that's probably true. So, the whole opening scene is... it's the scene that got released by accident on like Comic-Con or whatever,
right.
Deadpool jumping into a car and the big flip. And the cool thing that I liked about this movie is they don't give you the origin story up front. So like we hit the ground running with this big action set piece. And then he's got the bad guy that he wants. and then we're introduced to Colossus and Teenage Warhead. And like Colossus kind of
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Colossus kind of throws him, and then we go into part of our origin story. So we
the first time that he goes and tells his origin story is when he has the guy, he turns that guy into a shish kebab, remember?
Oh, right. That's right.
You're probably wondering, you thought this was a superhero movie, but why did the guy in the suit just turn this guy into a fucking shish kebab? And then he goes back
immediately
and
it's if you've ever read the book, the comics, like this is who this character is. He is not, it's almost like Spider-Man.
Right.
Ramped up.
He breaks the fourth wall.
Always
like,
So immediately in the opening credits, you see somebody's wallet, and in the wallet is a picture of a guy dressed as the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And it's like, yep, we're in. Like they make a
green reference joke in the opening credits of this movie.
A Green Lantern reference?
You said a green reference.
Oh, that's funny. No, they make a Green Lantern reference.
Well, they're
reference.
Also very ecologically conscious.
True. Yeah, it is. Right.
Little known fact, this was all printed on recycled film stock.
Correct. So Ryan Reynolds has no problem making fun of the Green Lantern. He does not think it was a good movie.
He has not mentioned it ever until just recently. Like, just recently he came out and was like, it was awful.
He gave it a 3, and then he went back and said it's a 1.
Yeah, and actually, there's a weird story behind this where like there was a script for the Green Lantern that was apparently amazing.
Oh, that's always the story.
No, like the guy, the guy that's involved.
If we would have done it my way, it would have been
incredible. That was involved with Arrow, and Mark Guggenheim wrote this script that had like Superman was in it and had all this different stuff. But they got to the studio, and the studio was like, no, like they kept some pieces or whatever. So Ryan Reynolds, and he's just kind of like, it was awful. Yeah, and, I can't, and I don't care. Like, I'm not going back.
He met Blake Lively.
Yeah, now they have a kid together.
Something good came out of it.
Yeah,
right. So that's what he's happy about. But it's great that we hit the ground running with the comedy right in the credits. We see a Green Lantern photo in someone's wallet.
Which was great.
And then this actually, the opening credits are actually slow motion of a scene that we haven't seen yet that we will see of that bridge scene.
Right.
That was the first released footage from Comic-Con and all that. So it's kind of cool.
The initial release was all CG. Like, it was just a concept.
It was a test.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And then, that got so much buzz that they actually got this movie.
Maybe we should make this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
was it the Batman Superman buzz? Because it like they released the trailer for Batman Superman, and then like the Deadpool stuff leaked, and all anybody was talking about was Deadpool.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think the movie wasn't going to happen. Like it had kind of just fallen through the cracks. It wasn't, Ryan Reynolds. They had done Wolverine Origins. And
when this got leaked, it was not going to happen. They were making it to hope it would get made,
and
it wasn't.
It was a proof of concept.
Yeah, it got released, and it got the movie made.
Right,
so this movie just fell together. The cards just landed perfectly.
Correct.
So we see the scene that's going to happen. But he starts telling the story of his origin story flashing back, and I love that Deadpool tells the story. We don't watch it. We don't have to watch him.
Yeah, it's all narrated by Ryan Reynolds.
But Deadpool is telling us the story, which, he brings his humor and his take, which just makes it so much better, so much funnier.
Right.
You see how he meets his girlfriend, played by Marina Baccarin.
Yeah, she is.
They have a sexy good time.
Oh, my God, dude. There's a scene. So they end up hooking, like, there's a bar. There's a mercenary bar. And this is where we meet
Sister Margaret's.
Yeah, something like that.
School for Wayward Girls.
Yeah,
right. Is the name of the bar.
Right. So this is where we meet T.J. Miller, who plays Weasel, who is a character from the books as well.
And T.J. Miller, honestly, to me, steals the movie.
He kills it.
Scenes in the movie are so good.
I don't think I've ever seen him so drawn, like, reserved.
Right.
Like, usually, like in Silicon Valley or anything else, he's over the top.
He is very chill. Yeah, he is very laid back in this, and his humor is very like sarcastic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Very
yeah.
Dry.
When I walked out of the theater yesterday, I looked at my friend who I went with, and I said, the scenes with Ryan and TJ where they're describing what Deadpool looks like are on par with 40-year-old virgin when they're going back and forth with, do you know how I know you're gay?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, just one after another another.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was filmed as a big improv back and forth, and they just kept the best stuff.
To see that Blu-ray.
They must have went back and forth and you look like an avocado. I had sex with another avocado.
Well,
like
an older, uglier avocado. Yeah.
What's funny is in doing some Deadpool research, I didn't watch the X-Men Origins movie because I couldn't bring myself to watch it again.
Yeah, good for you.
There on YouTube is like a 7-minute short clip about the Ryan Reynolds character of Deadpool from that film. And it really keys in on the scene where they're in the elevator. And Hugh Jackman talked
before
about
his mouth is sewn shut?
Correct.
Oh, when he could talk. Okay.
Yeah.
And Hugh Jackman talks about how they had to film that scene like 40 times because everything that Ryan Reynolds says is ad-libbed in that
yep.
movie.
Yep.
And he's like, so many times he would say something and we would all
crack up.
Just lose our shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's that. So in the beginning of that movie, that was Deadpool.
100%.
Like when they said, okay, we're going to cast Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. And you see him in that first opening sequence. You're like, hell, all right.
Yeah.
And then they did what they did.
Yeah.
And it was like,
what is
what
this?
Happened?
What
are you
I
doing?
Just, I would like to know whose idea was that?
I also
Gavin
love
Hood, I don't know.
That in the as you're learning the origin story in this new movie, and I forget what he references it to. He goes, this is the worst thing that has ever happened to me. And then they cut to an action figure of the mouth sewn shut.
Yes.
Deadpool. And he's like, all right.
Yeah.
Maybe the second worst.
And they reference it. When he goes to the research facility and he's talking
to sew my mouth shut.
The guy goes, shut up. Yeah. I'm going to sew
Please
your mouth
don't
shut.
Do that.
And then he goes, yeah, you don't want to do that or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so the advantage of the Deadpool character is he's really the only character in comics that does break that fourth wall and looks at the reader. So I was curious as to how that was going to translate to this. So I was thinking, okay, the Green Lantern joke is breaking that fourth wall. The referencing the other Deadpool is. So I was like, okay, maybe they'll make some like
Hugh Jackman. Not Wolverine, but there's Hugh Jackman.
He references Wolverine once.
No, I know they do, but I'm saying you've got Hugh Jackman right. on People Magazine, like yeah. the actor Hugh Jackman.
Right.
Yeah.
So the way that they do that is brilliant and it is hilarious.
Well, he also references Ryan Reynolds.
He does.
Right.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. But I liked that instead of it being just like meta jokes, like he looks at the camera
yeah.
and he's talking to you, the audience.
And I thought that was funny because the movie that reminded me of from my youth comes back in the post-credit scenes.
Yes, it does.
As far as movies
yeah.
where the main character breaks the fourth
right.
wall.
Ferris
right.
Bueller.
Right. And
yeah.
it doesn't happen often in films anymore anyway.
No.
Like,
the only other one that I could compare it to was Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Because Ferris Bueller constantly breaks the fourth wall.
Right, right, right.
And that's why when there was post-credit scenes, I was like, all right, it's got to be something Captain America. They're going to set up the next movie. And then when it just showed the hallway, I was like, it's going to be Ferris Bueller coming out of the shower saying, why are you still
so,
here?
Yeah.
And as soon as it was, I was like, this is so perfect.
Yeah.
So I want to say The Big Short breaks the fourth wall when they talk to the audience
yeah.
and explain
oh,
things. That was recent. And then didn't The Wolf of Wall Street, Leo would turn to the camera and explain
yeah,
things?
Yeah, that's right. That's
so
true.
So those are just a couple
right,
recent
yeah, yeah,
ones.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, yeah. They're,
yeah, but those
whole,
are little indie flicks that no one saw.
Yeah, right.
Get this huge battle sequence, you know, fight scene, and we get to see exactly what Deadpool can do.
And this is where I was really worried. The reason being is I saw the leaked footage. I saw the released footage. I saw the trailers. I saw the teasers. You see this highway shootout scene so many times.
Right.
And in the trailers, they even show some of the really cool scenes, like
yeah.
shooting three guys in a row and lining them up. Like, you see some awesome shots just given away in the trailers. So I'm like, oh my God, it's the bridge scene. I'm like, I'm glad it's early. We'll get it out of the way.
Very good.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because I'm like,
glad.
I've just seen this so much.
Right.
Like, get it out of the way, and now we're past it.
Well, they left out the cool about the bullets. Where he's like, all right,
bullets,
I've got 12
yeah.
bullets.
Yeah, they didn't show that in the trailer,
yeah,
so that was
so
good.
Like, as he's killing these people, the casings will drop on the ground, and you've
They're
got like, a number,
yeah.
a number
right.
which I thought was great.
But I will say that having seen it, I still enjoyed it, which was amazing.
For
because
sure.
I had thought that I have seen this so many times. I've heard the brown pants joke. Like, one reason I don't like watching trailers for comedies, and this is a comedy, is, you know,
the
for
joke's
as much action.
Tired before you get to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and so, you know, this guy has the right idea. He's wearing the brown pants, which is a great joke.
It's
but the 12th time you're before
right,
you've
right,
seen
right.
the movie, you're like, okay.
So to me, it's not that joke's awful. I hate
no,
that joke.
I think
but
yeah.
because he's firing off so many jokes in a
yeah.
row, even the bad ones you forget about
yeah.
because he's already selling.
But it explains the red suit. I think it's a
right.
good joke because he's, you know, you're wondering
you
why
the red suit they explain later when he's wearing a white suit. And then she's like, why don't you just wear a red suit?
Well, yeah, I just thought it was a callback.
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
was.
Yeah. But so anyway, but yeah, so I liked that. But so I was a little worried having seen all this going in. But it was so fun. And with the bullet casings and with his jokes that you didn't hear in the trailers because he is firing off so many, that I even enjoyed the highway scene for
yeah,
the 19th time.
Right.
So it's just, it's so good. It's so witty.
I thought it was a masterstroke the way they took that scene that you had seen a million times and like
instead, like at first I thought the same thing, like they're getting it out of the way.
Right.
And then they didn't. Instead, they prolonged it. They dragged that scene out over like 30 minutes.
They did. Yeah.
And you get like two pieces of his origin story while this is going
right.
on.
But I was just like, but it was brilliant because like it made me kept wanting to get back to the scene that at the beginning I didn't want to see again.
Yeah. Right.
But I also knew that it was too good of a scene to not actually include in the movie proper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you're right. I mean, that highway scene is essentially the entire first act of the movie.
Yeah. Yep. It is. And when we talk about violence, when we talk about rated R, I mean, he is shooting people in the head. He is decapitating them. This movie, this is why it's not for kids. This
is not a kids movie.
There's also a few times during the origin story where you see more of Ryan Reynolds than you really thought you were going to see.
Oh, yeah,
that's all him.
Oh, yeah.
He did a full frontal for that
and it's
scene.
Like three or four times. Yeah. And I was explaining to a friend of mine last night if she should let her teenage daughter go to this, who's like a freshman in high school. I went, there's a lot of violence. There's a lot of nudity. She's like, well, I'm like, no, I'm not just talking boobs.
And there are boobs.
At least three or four times. And it's never like the center of the shot. And it's never long enough where like prolongs on it. But there are three or four times where you're like, I think I just saw Ryan Reynolds hog.
Yeah. It was almost like the Ben Affleck in
Gone Girl.
In Gone Girl.
That's exactly. She goes, is it like that? And I'm like, I've never seen that movie all the way through, but I think so from what I understand.
No, not really. You don't see anything.
It's like
in a reflection or something. Yeah. But yeah, so they tell you the first part of the story where he's a mercenary. What a great scene where he goes to this guy's house. And,
oh, so good.
And the pizza guy shows up and he's like, I didn't order a pizza. And then all of a sudden, Wade Wilson walks out of the bathroom and tells his story, and he's like, oh, I'm not here for you. I'm here for you, the pizza guy. And the guy's like, ooh. So, you know.
He's stalking some teenage girl or whatever.
Yeah. So.
He takes these jobs to help people. He's not necessarily taking these jobs that are like the highest paying. He's trying to help people.
Correct.
Using his skill set.
Correct. So this is when we go back to the bar. We meet TJ Wilson, and then we meet.
TJ Miller.
TJ Wilson.
That's TJ Hooker.
TJ Hooker. Yeah.
TJ Wilson's a pitcher. It's fine. I would
have no way of knowing.
I know, yeah. this is where we see the Deadpool for the first time. Yeah. And it's exactly what you think it is. It's a list of all of these mercenaries and when are they going to die?
People betting, will they die on the mission?
Then, of course, TJ Miller is like, he's like, what? You bet on me? And he's like, well, yeah, but you know, it's not that bad. He's like, oh man.
It's not personal.
Yeah. So this is where we meet his girlfriend. And they have this whole scene where they are going back and forth about whose childhood was worse was gold.
So funny. Yeah,
she was hilarious. Like, I don't think I've ever seen her in a comedic role. Like, I know she's on Gotham.
Right.
I know she was on Serenity.
She was on V.
So,
but she was on Firefly.
When she was
in Wizard World, like, I think 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember walking by, and it was like right after Via got canceled, and she was just sitting at one of those booths by herself.
Oh, that's awful.
No one was coming up to her, and I'm like, well, that will change now.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, it will.
So
yes, it will.
I missed it. I must have missed it in the initial introduction between these two characters. I just initially thought that she was in the Merc bar because she was another Merc.
No.
She's a prostitute?
She's a prostitute.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why he's like, how much will this buy me?
Right. Yeah, yeah. So like, when he started to say that, I was like, oh, okay, so she's a hooker.
Right, yeah, she's totally a hooker. And she's got this messed up childhood. So like that scene where they are, because like I said, I don't think I've ever seen her be, not play the comedy up. Like, she's always kind of been in the action role.
Mm-hmm.
So like, she's going, like, in Ryan Reynolds, we've seen it before, the dude is funny.
Oh, yeah.
And he's very good at ad-libbing.
I always thought he would make a great Fletch.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I think they could.
100%.
Who was it before?
They were talking about doing one with Jason Lee.
Oh, really?
There was supposed to be a Kevin Smith Fletch, and he wanted Jason.
Zach Braff was Fletch at one? Was going to be Fletch at one point?
That might have got bandied about for a while.
Yeah, but now
Ryan Reynolds, 100%.
Like, yeah. And I feel we talked about the box office. This is a massive hit. Thank God Ryan Reynolds is like, whoo!
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I've got that out of the way.
And even though it's a superhero movie, it's a massive hit that's completely driven by his personality.
Correct.
Yes.
Like, it's not.
Him in a suit flying around.
You know, right. And what's funny, though, is that it is him in a suit, right? Like, you almost never see his face.
Which is, I was thinking the same thing, which is unheard of.
But you totally, it's his personality the entire time.
Yep, that's why, you know, we talk about all the time with Iron Man.
Yeah.
Where they're always taking off the mask.
Or showing you inside the mask. Like,
or Judge Dredd, honestly. Like, the Stallone Dredd version. Like, Dredd never takes his helmet off, ever.
Yeah, that's why in Pulp Fiction, Stallone, like the Gimp, it didn't become a breakout character.
manager.
That's exactly.
That's the only reason.
That's the only reason. America loved the GIMP,
but
loved
they couldn't
see his
but they
face.
Had no idea who it was.
We just couldn't identify with the actor.
Right. Yeah. Which, I was shocked at how much he did wear the mask.
Yeah.
The GIMP or
yeah, exactly.
No, the GIMP wore it a perfectly appropriate amount of time.
I'm talking about the other one.
Okay.
So yeah, they're going back and forth, and finally they hook up.
Like she's talking about how he lived in a cramped room in a house.
She was
or
like, "Oh, you." No, he's like, "I lived
like,
in."
Oh,
a,
you had a room.
Well, no, he was like, "I lived in a cardboard box that used to be a dishwasher."
And she goes,
"And she was
you
like,
had
you had
a dishwasher?
Box? Oh, yeah, you had a dishwasher.
You had a dishwasher. Right. Like, it just yeah, but the humor was great. I mean, these jokes, the jokes work, which is great. And So another concern of mine going in, aside from seeing that highway scene over and over again, was will the jokes be too forced? Will it be too crude for the sake of being crude? Will the jokes fall flat? Will they really be funny, or are they going to be dirty? We've seen Dirty Grandpa. Those are forced, crude jokes that are just terrible. And so this movie, you know, I didn't think it'd be that bad, but I'm like, will we have the same issue? Oh, I'm Deadpool. This is a hard R. Here's some really raunchy things, you know, but they're not funny.
Right.
And it was like funny 99.9% of the time.
Yep. See, I would disagree.
Really?
I think I'm going to, and I liked the movie, but I think I probably liked it the least of the people in the room, in that I didn't think that the jokes were all that funny for the most part. And I felt like it was more clever than funny.
Yeah.
And so like, I found myself like more like in my head commenting like, oh, that was clever.
Right.
But I didn't like just laugh out loud often.
I can see that.
There were times. Few laugh out loud.
There were certainly times. Like, and again, overall, I liked the movie and I liked what it did. And so I'm not like, but I wish the jokes had been stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will use the comparison that my friend always does to a handful of records when it's the same thing over and over again. And I'm with you. I love the movie. I would still give the movie an A. But towards the end, I felt like when it came to the jokes and everything else, that I was stuck in a theme park with the world's largest endless cotton candy and no way to get out.
Yeah.
That it was same thing.
Going back to an album metaphor, if you're going to give me the same song over and over again, it needs to be Back in Black, not Fly on the Wall.
Right.
Right? Like, it's, you know.
Job, yeah.
But, you know, that said, I thought it was good. Like, the one that I was kind of like, all right, I get it, was there's a scene in the final fight where Colossus is fighting Gina Carano's character, and I can't remember her name. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think it was Shelley Big Tits.
Correct. Yes. Which leads to my point, is there's a scene while...
Is she Angel?
Angel. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yes, she is. Colossus is this very, like, moral high ground, goody-goody X-Men, and there's a scene where they're fighting, and he knocks her to the ground, and one of her tits falls out. And instead of going after the fight, he's like, and like shields it so you can't see it. She's like, oh, that was very nice of you. And then punches him in the junk. And I'm like, I get it. There's a lot of boobs in this movie. Colossus is moral high ground, and you punched him in the junk. Like,
I actually didn't mind that scene. I thought that was funny.
I enjoyed that joke.
I didn't mind it, but I felt like I got to the point where I could see the jokes coming before they got there.
Yeah.
I have an issue with Colossus, but
it didn't really work for me.
Well, and they made him into the Hulk.
100%.
Like the size,
100%.
He's not so like the character itself is he's a farm boy, right? So he's big and he's not stocky, but he's a big boy. He's not that big.
They made him huge.
Yeah, he's not that big. If you look at this is kind of a deep cut. If you've ever read Tim Sale and Jeff Loeb's Superman for All Seasons. Like that's what he looks like. He's not like he's like 6'7" and he's not like comic book size. Like he's built like a farm boy. Like
he's supposed to be like your stereotypical Russian weightlifter Olympian dude.
Exactly.
Like, just a super jacked, normal size, but like just solid guy.
And he's also like the characterization of him was kind of like I have this guy tattooed on my leg. Like this is one of my favorite X-Men.
Yeah, the characterization it just didn't work for me.
He's
it was
super
odd.
Like his character, the character himself, he's super gentle and he's got a warmth to him. And this like the guy that did the voice just didn't.
Yeah,
it was whatever.
I didn't like the voice for the visualization of him. It just
didn't
work.
To make him too stereotypical.
Russian
Eastern Bloc Russian.
Right.
Like,
right. I mean, it was awesome
must
to
do
see,
this.
It was better than seeing the guy that they got for the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
He had no accent whatsoever.
Right.
Like, the only part that was good was in X-Men 2 when you just see him armor up. And I was like, yes! And then you see him in the third movie, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hate it. Like, he didn't ruin the movie for me.
No,
by any means,
no.
But it just didn't work. So I was kind of like, anytime there was Colossus on screen, I'm like, okay, just Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I just kind of passed. And I did think that fight was way too dragged out between him and Angel. I just was
I didn't mind it. Like, I
was like, come on.
I will watch Gina Carano on screen anytime. Like, it's fine.
A, yes. and B, I think the reason they did that was they were trying to establish the strength of Angel more than it was Colossus, because you know, you see this giant Hulk sized metal person rushing her and your first thought is he is going to pulverize her.
And it was a good callback to when we watched Deadpool try and beat up Colossus earlier in the film.
Oh my god,
to a great cringe inducing comedic effect
was that scene. Like, that is he throws the first punch and like his hand falls, like and he throws the other punch and of course like it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Right.
And they have to like he ends up handcuffing him and drags him across and he ends up cutting his own hand. Like,
right.
So the deal is Colossus and Negasonic want to take him to join the X-Men. Like which another great scene where he's like, do I want, like, we're gonna take you to see Professor X. He goes, McAvoy or Stewart. Like, I don't really remember.
I can't keep the timeline straight.
That's great.
Yeah. And like those jokes are the those are the jokes of the fourth wall that I thought he was
breaking.
I think
my favorite fourth wall joke, that was probably my second favorite, but my favorite fourth wall joke was when he goes to the mansion and he's like, it's such a huge house. How come there's only two of you? It's like, we couldn't afford the rest of the X-Men.
That was brilliant. Yeah. Like, it's a brilliant joke.
They
worked
so
good.
He
ends up like handcuffing him. He's going to take him away and he ends up cutting his own hand off. And he jumps off the bridge, and like as Colossus picks up his wrist, he's got like the he's flicking him off.
Right,
just brilliant.
Great. It is great. So then, we have to see his hand grow back.
Which is
so reminiscent of what is the terrible movie with
Scary
Chris?
Movie.
Yes,
with the guy with the little.
I'm gonna use my little hand.
Oh no, it's all right. I made it myself. But
it's Chris Elliott.
Yeah, Chris Elliott.
But so he goes back. He lives with.
We need to say that like. So he has this relationship and then they have this hilarious holiday sequence where they're having sex with all the holidays and they get to like Women's Appreciation Day and it's
and
just
she's
like
got a strap
my god, like that scene was hilarious just because Ryan Reynolds plays it perfectly and he's like
no, we're done.
But yeah, so we find out that he has cancer and this goes with the character, like Wade Wilson did have cancer and he goes to actually Weapon X.
Weapon X is why he...
Yeah, they can't... I don't know why they don't reference that it's Weapon X, that they...
I was wondering that.
And this wasn't Weapon X, was it?
No, but that's in the books.
In the comic books, he joins Weapon X
with...
they should have the rights to that.
That's what I thought, right?
But I just don't think they wanted to get into the whole storyline, which I'm glad, of Weapon X. I think they just
They've already told the story. Like everybody,
my first thought was they didn't want to get anywhere near the X-Men origin.
Yeah, that's which the only is about Weapon think. X. Yeah, I just think they wanted to stay.
Well, no, in X2, they go to that Weapon X facility. Like that's where Jean Grey dies in X2 is Weapon X. So he ends up going to this facility thinking that they're going to cure him, but it turns out it's all a big sham. Like they're going to... So it's a weird thing where like they try to unlock a hidden mutant gene, which is something I've never heard of.
So, and that was one of my questions. Are we to believe that
everybody has
a hidden mutant gene?
That's the thing.
Or certain people. I wasn't clear on that.
So Wade Wilson, I think, wasn't a mutant, and they gave him... But they
unlocked this mutant gene.
In the movie, in the book, they, if I'm right, they use part of... like, so when Weapon X uses... So the deal is... Weapon X, he's Weapon 10. So they've been trying to do this 10 times and Wolverine finally gets it right.
Right.
So they use whatever DNA they have from Wolverine and his genetic code and they start giving it to other people. So that's why Wade has the healing factor.
Right.
But it does that to his skin. Like it makes his skin look all, you know, like somebody fucked a topographical map of
Utah.
Right. Freddy Krueger to be exact.
So yes, yeah. Oh, what a great line. I love TJ.
Hooker or Miller?
Miller.
Or OG.
TJ Hooker was a good show. It's not a bad show. It's Heather Locklear, right? Well,
we should just have should have a whole new show called Miller, Hooker, or Oshie. And just give random facts and figure out which TJ we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he ends up, like, this is where we see Ryan Reynolds' junk.
Right.
They keep doing all these different tests to unlock this hidden mutant gene, and finally they suffocate him, and his mutant gene kicks in, and he's able to survive.
But Angel always has a match in her mouth. She's always chewing on a matchstick.
Right, right. You're going to leave me here with less funny Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah. And so awesome. He headbutts her, which actually he's taking the matchstick.
Correct.
He does it really quickly.
Right.
And then, yeah.
So. And then he sets everything on, like, he throws it down by the oxygen and sets everything on fire. And this is where we get the first, like, he's literally fighting this guy butt-ass naked.
Right.
And we get actually a really cool scene where he ends up losing. Like, he doesn't win this fight. He gets, like, I have a thing with rebar. Like, I think it's awful. Like, anytime I see it in a movie, I was like, nope, this is going to be bad. It's going through, like, a leg or an arm.
And rebar is never there for its intended purpose right? in a movie.
Yeah.
It's always at a horrible impaling tool.
Correct. So they, and
he sticks Ajax.
Ajax, which I had to go, like, I don't remember him as a character. Like, I think that they were going to introduce Gideon, who was an X-Force villain, and that's why X-Force number 2 like shot through the roof, because everybody was like, he's gonna be in the movie, and then he wasn't, and I was like, you idiots. Way to spend $100 on a worthless issue.
There's still hope.
There is. Yeah, he'll probably be in something.
I mean, yeah, they probably didn't want to use anyone too complex like for this.
Do you have a New Mutants 98?
What's that?
Do you have a New Mutants 98?
No, I do not.
Okay, neither do I.
You know, because they didn't know how.
I do have a Vengeance of Bane.
Oh, good. I do have one of those as well.
I have two of them, actually.
Yeah. The red cover or the green cover?
The first print. That orangish one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought it. It was funny. I bought it because I buy all things Batman. And I went in the comic book store like 2 weeks later, and there was only one left.
So I got my Walking Dead one.
Yeah, and I was like, I went ahead and picked it up. And the guy that owned the comic book store, Aaron, I was like, did this sell very well? And he's like, no. And I was like, oh, I just saw there was only one left. And he's like, yeah, I didn't order very many of them just because because it's like,
who cares,
it's just this random one shot. And right. I'm like, he's like, why are you buying a second one? And I was like, I just got a feeling that, like, why would they do this one shot about this character, that
this brand new character,
like, why would they not introduce him in a regular book or something? Uh-huh. I'm like, I just feel like they're doing something, and so ta-da. I'm just gonna go ahead and buy a second one. Couldn't hurt. You know,
what's the worst that could happen? Oh,
yeah.
This is the worst that could happen. And by worst, I mean best.
I don't know what it goes for now.
It's pretty good. Like 50 to 80, I think. Yeah.
Nice.
And a good.
What was your initial investment?
I think it was a
$2.99 or $3.99.
I think it was like a $2.99 book, because
that was when $2.99 was expensive.
Yeah, because it wasn't it wasn't a prestige format.
Nope.
It had a regular paper cover, but it did have the square glue binding. It wasn't a stapled book.
Oh,
is that right?
Almost positive.
All right. I'll have to bring in. I have a handful of comics from like mid late 90s that
they're worthless.
I have everything first print from the Death of Superman series, except for one book.
Yeah, those are.
If you have
like the polybagged black,
I don't.
That's the one that I know. Is so expensive. And actually, now that they've introduced Doomsday in the books,
I say, is it expensive? Because for a long time, that book
it was like a
$6 book.
Yeah,
so
if it's in the bag with the Daily Planet with the armband,
yeah,
maybe $20.
Right.
But the first appearance of Doomsday has just started to go up because of
really?
Yeah, because I mean, he's going to be in the movie, so.
Right?
Yeah, that's how I got my Walking Dead one, was sitting on a shelf, and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
My only Walking Dead one is I got the one that they gave away at St. Louis Comic Con last year, which was the St. Louis cover.
Yeah, that's a good looking cover, though.
Yeah, that's cool.
So he ends up in this, so he gets rebar shoved through his chest, and then Ajax kind of bends it on the top so he can't get out. I was going to say that way, but all right.
All right.
So the whole building kind of collapses around him.
So what is the deal with Ajax's powers? So he does not feel pain because
he's strong
they...
and he doesn't feel pain.
Okay.
That's it. Because they severed his nerve endings.
Right.
And I think he was obviously one of the ones
that
experiment.
And he cuts through grime.
He does. Yeah.
Right.
Very easily.
Which they reference in the movie, which is so great.
He's a grime fighter.
So,
yeah, you're right for Deadpool, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you're good.
So Wade finds out that because of a dry cleaning label or whatever on his lab coat, that his name is Francis. And so he makes fun of his name for being Francis. So it's a running joke the whole time where Ajax is like, what's my name? You know, and he wants him to say it's Ajax, but he will never say it. And then Deadpool always ends up saying or doing something related to Francis.
I was hoping they would do a Stripes joke.
Yeah.
It was like,
or
all right.
A talking mule joke.
Yeah, either
for
way.
For those people that like our old-timey references.
But they never, like, to their credit, they don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the, all right, take it easy, Francis.
Yeah.
Lighten up, Francis.
So what is, I'm trying to remember the joke when he references Ajax. He goes, his real name's Francis. He just likes to name himself, or he likes to call himself after, what is it?
Yeah, not, a cleaning, cleaning product or whatever. Yeah, yeah, just, yeah, they reference it. Yeah.
Right.
But so, I love when he goes, what's my name? He's like, I'm going to spell it out for you, mother.
Yeah.
Which was great. Yeah, that's
so
that's,
fantastic.
Yeah. So they he ends up getting, like, the building kind of crumbles around.
And he dotted Deadpool. The eye with that guy's head.
So
did you
good.
Notice that?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So good. Yeah. And he ends up getting away, and he realizes he's in, like, something. He's okay. And then, like, so he, I think this is where he goes back to the bar.
Yeah, he goes for the,
he goes straight to the bar.
Yeah.
And and he, this is where we get the great scene with him and TJ Miller, where they're going back and forth about how bad he looks. He's like, you are haunting to look at.
You are difficult.
So good. I know on the Blu-ray they are going to have like
5 minutes of that.
Yeah. Exactly. It's almost like the Andy Dwyer outtakes from Parks and Rec, where it's just like 10 minutes of him doing
so
whatever.
Good, yeah.
That's the movie that I would see. Like, if somehow you can get Deadpool into the Guardians of the Galaxy,
yeah.
Have him and Chris Pratt go, that'd be so good.
Yeah, not with this box office weekend.
Nope.
I love the scene when he comes out of the ashes, and he goes, not only did I get the cure for L cancer,
yeah,
I got the cure for L everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good. Like, that's
because at
perfect.
One point he's researching pamphlets on how to cure cancer. She, Marina Baccarin, she keeps, Vanessa?
Vanessa, yeah.
She gives him a bunch of pamphlets of these not FDA approved or not, you know, approved in the U.S. So one of them's from Mexico, and he's like, you know what they call cancer in Mexico? L cancer. And so, and I love the callback. That, yeah, he comes back and says, I got the cure for L cancer.
Like, I did like that where he, she's like, they're going back and forth about something. Yeah.
You win.
Yeah.
Your life is officially more fun than mine.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So good. So he ends up seeing TJ Miller, and they're going, and he realizes, he's like, okay, I got to find this guy, and then he's going to fix my face, and everything's going to be fine. So now he's on the hunt for Ajax, and he's just knocking people off. Left and right.
With a little map of string.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
doesn't he also, during the TJ scene, when they're deciding what they're going to call himself, doesn't he also say, I should be Deadpool? L Deadpool?
No. He goes, they're going back and forth with names.
Captain Deadpool.
Yeah. He's like, all right,
just Deadpool.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he looks up at the.
And that's
the
weird.
Deadpool.
Like, they never, like, that's the only time they ever explain, to my recollection. Like, it's been years since I've read that original Joe Kelly, Ed McGuinness stuff. I don't remember if they say that, if this scene is kind of in there where he figures out what his name, or if he's just Deadpool. Like, that's just the name that I don't remember. Those books are expensive too.
Are they?
Yeah. Which are great. So he ends up, like, it's almost like a Spider-Man like montage where he has like a white suit. And he'd actually, it's weird, in Rick Remender and Jerome Pena's Uncanny X-Force, he wears a white suit. So it's very reminiscent of that suit.
Yeah, it's funny. He keeps killing people and getting blood all over
right,
us.
Right. And this is where this is where we meet Blind Al.
Yeah.
I just thought for like 5 minutes, the only dialogue you hear between the sound effects of punching and slicing is, where's Francis? Where's Francis?
But then she's like, you know, it's like vinegar and whatever. We'll take that out. And she's like, or you could just not wear white, you dummy. Yeah. And he's like, oh, all right. And then, you know, he ends up...
Figures a woman would know how to answer that one.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I wonder if that... Is that the joke?
I don't know.
That'd be pretty good if that's the joke. Like, yeah. It's the hidden joke. So he ends up, like,
especially
moving.
The other problem, too, is, like, with the white costume is you can't fight crime after Labor Day.
Nope.
That's true.
You just got to put it away. Call it
you
a day.
You can. You're just exceptionally gauche.
Touche.
Yeah.
Moon Knight's the only guy that could do
it.
Yeah,
he can pull it off.
Right. Because he'll just tear your face off.
Yeah.
So this is where, like, we get more of the scene we kind of forgot to talk about is...
And his manservant is French, so he's got all the...
Oh,
he's very fashionable.
Right. Yeah. Look at you. Good job.
That was another book that I picked up.
So good.
Where that I was like, it was at the end of its run.
Yeah.
Like, it had already been canceled.
Right.
And then, like, this issue came out that they clearly just gave to an artist that they were just like...
It was 5 issues.
They were just like, whatever, the book's canceled.
Yep.
And it was Stephen Platt. And I was just, I remember my regulars that would come in the store when I worked there, I was like, you should pick up this issue of Moon Knight. And they're like,
why?
Moon Knight? Like, like, look, if you bought too many issues of Moon Knight, that's your problem.
Right.
And I was like, no, I'm like, the art style is really cool.
Yep.
And it's totally different. And, like, I just think that, like, it's going to be one of those first artist appearance.
It's the only artist appearance. It's the only work he ever did for Marvel.
Yeah, because
he jumped right to Image and then he was gone.
Yeah. It's probably not worth anything now.
No, it is.
Is it?
For a while,
it was worth quite a bit.
I think he did 5.
Yeah.
I think. And those 5 issues.
Didn't he do a couple Punishers?
He may have done covers.
What about my McFarlane-drawn Spider-Man?
Which one?
Number 1.
No. Well, which one?
It's the silver one?
No.
Damn.
It's the chrome
that's,
one.
That's what I have.
Then if it's the chrome, well, there's gold.
It's the shiny one. Super shiny.
That could be.
Okay.
If you're looking at like Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 97, 98, 99, 300, those are the big ones.
Yeah.
That's the first appearance of Venom and Eddie Brock.
I learned something today.
There you go. So we forgot to mention the cab driver.
Oh,
which
yes.
was even funnier, where he's sitting in the back and he's playing with the window and he ends up climbing up and they have this conversation about how he loses his girlfriend and he was like, well, this
to
is
his cousin?
To his cousin, yeah. He's like, this is what you got to do and do this, and that's the last, you think that's the last time you're going to see him. Flash
There's
forward.
Just so many jokes in this
which,
movie.
Which, by the way, the cab driver is the guy, Sprint, I think it was, a couple years ago, had an ongoing ad campaign where there was these two IT guys who were working on boosting the network.
Yeah.
And there was an older guy who was the straight character, like the straight man of the two, and then there was like his quirky, plucky understudy.
Who kept like falling out of the ceiling?
Yes. That was the cab driver.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that guy's very funny.
Yeah.
I love how he calls him Mr. Pool.
Mr. Pool.
Because when he introduced himself, Pool. he's like Pool, dead. And then so he's like,
hello, Mr.
Pool. Yeah. It's
so then now Deadpool he's figured out who Francis is. He's going to get Francis, and he realizes he has to enlist the help of Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead. This is the scene where they go to the X-Mansion.
That is such an extraordinarily long
That is a Grant Morrison character from his run on New X-Men, and the suits reflect that. Like, the suit that she wears,
she's wearing,
is the suit that he took over the book right after X-Men 1, and that's when they started to do, like, the black leather.
Mm-hmm.
So that suit is almost identical to what Frank Quitely was drawing those suits to look like. So we Francis figures out that he kind of goes after TJ Weasel. They find the picture of Vanessa. Now they have Vanessa, and the entire time Vanessa is under the impression that he is dead. He's been dead. He's not, you know. So
and they go to find Vanessa. They go to the strip club. Another reason this is rated R, where they're just in
boobies.
A strip club. Yep, everywhere.
Lots of them.
Boobies and the greatest Stan Lee cameo ever.
This was a fantastic cameo. Yep. People were busting out laughing.
It was
like,
good.
The fact that he was the announcer at the strip club.
Strip club DJ.
He looked positively giddy.
He absolutely did. Stan Lee is just an amazing human.
How old is he?
He's creeping
93,
yeah,
94.
Like
he just
we're not going to have many of these left.
No.
That's just like they're going to keep happening, and that's fine. He's 93.
Yeah,
yeah, but I don't think these.
Is he on the first half or the backside of 93?
He's on the front part. He was born December 28th.
Okay, so he's recently
1922.
93. The guy is so sharp. I mean, now, you know, I've seen him live. I've just watching his interviews, listening to podcasts with him. For being 93 years old, and the guy's active,
sharp
he gets
attack.
Around, but he is sharp as a tack, referencing things, making jokes.
I do wonder how sharp he really is, and I only say that because my grandmother passed away recently. She was 95.
Okay.
But I also know that, like, if you asked her about stuff that happened 40 years ago, she was great. And, you know, that's typically what people are going to ask him about.
Yeah,
like,
right.
They're not going to be like,
would you have a breakfast?
Tell me about this new project. No.
But his mind, the way
tell
he
me about
answers.
That comment you did with Pamela Anderson. Like,
but
no, nobody's asking
the
about
way
that.
He answers questions and makes jokes shows you how sharp he is. He is quick. He has the quickness of, who's another person that makes, just like people
me.
That listen. Yeah, like if I'm listening to Tim O'Keefe make a quick joke, like
talking about old funny people.
Yeah. Yeah. Stan Lee is on though, like all the time.
There was that
amazing.
We were at his panel and somebody referenced. They kind of tried to call him out in the middle of this big panel. Where
which was such a dick.
He was. It was a big dick move where he references that like Stan Lee may have stolen an idea for the X-Men from this book.
Yeah,
and Stan's like, I've never heard. Like, I don't know what book that is. I don't know. You know, anything. And then
someone asked the
like,
next question about how'd you get
the
idea?
No, it was a while. Like, it was like five questions later.
But they asked, like, how'd you get the idea for something?
The idea for the
and
X-Men?
He goes, oh, I stole it from that guy's book. Like, he made a quick callback to something
that's
from
awesome.
Questions
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, like, that's like, super. Because, like, with some of the jokes, too, like, I kind of feel like, he's got his kind of goat. Like,
he's got a
yeah.
shtick.
He's got, no. yeah, he's got kind of like.
Kind of like Bruce Campbell. Like, I think Bruce yeah, Campbell has a shtick when
much.
He does a Q&A.
Yeah.
But no,
so,
Stan Lee is good about, he is yeah. on, and
how,
he is quick.
How involved in the day-to-day process of Marvel is Stan Lee
none,
still?
None.
Like,
no.
He's got, he's the figurehead, he's the godfather,
yeah.
but like, he's
no.
he's executive
they,
producing
they push him out there when they're like, hey, Stanley.
Yeah, he is right.
And that's what I figured. But I mean, I know the history of Stan Lee, but I would not consider myself a comic book aficionado by any means. I'm a novice at best. But I obviously know who and what Stan Lee is all about.
He's one of the very few creators that transcends comics, in my opinion.
Like, 100%.
Yeah, people that know nothing about comics know who Stan,
Lee, Stan Lee is.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, he has no...
You
like,
can thank Mallrats for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could actually answer that question.
Yeah.
We saw the thing had no wiener in Fantastic Four. he ends up enlisting the help. He realizes that they've got his girl, and now he's livid that they have his girl.
So right. And Colossus is like, you'll join the X-Men. He goes, I'll think about it. I'll think about joining the X-Men. Yeah.
And the girl that's playing a teenage Warhead is just so...
Teenage,
like she's so
on her
great.
Phone.
Yeah,
I love that scene at the beginning where he's like, so are you gonna, is it going to be Stony Silence or
something mean?
Or is something mean? And she's like, you kind of got me in a box here.
Right. So that was a great, like, that line is perfect. So they end up going to the shipyard.
No,
and,
finish your tweet. It's more important.
Yeah, right, right. They go to the shipyard and they have, like, he has all of his ammunition. He's ready to rock and roll. And they get there and she looks at him and she's like, where's your bag? And he's like, fuck.
So he calls.
There's an amazing joke leading up to that, though.
Yeah.
Back at the apartment when he's getting
about the trunk of the cab.
Oh, yeah, where they're in the cab and like they're taking. And like this is the scene that I actually liked. I liked Colossus in, where he's all scrunched down in this cab.
When they're on the way to the shipyard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The taxi driver brings
them. He hears a bump in the
back.
They
go over a bump and someone yells in the back and they're like, what's that?
And he was like, it's whatever his name is.
My romantic rival.
Yeah, exactly.
And
his cousin.
Like, the two heroes in the back are like, he's like, it's what you told me to do. And Deadpool's
like, no, not at all. And then he's like giving him a thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what you
mean. Yeah.
He like does the throat cut.
Yeah, like, but he's saying like, I can't believe you would do that. And he's telling him like, yeah, good job.
So fun of you.
Yeah, they get.
But what I don't like about that scene.
Oh.
Is that how we establish this character at the beginning is he's hunting down this stalker.
Who?
Oh, Ryan
Deadpool. Reynolds. Yeah.
He's hunting down this stalker for free. Like, he even says, give the girl her money back. I'm not taking it from a teenage girl. Because he's like, that's not how you treat people. And then here, he's telling this guy to do the exact opposite.
In all fairness, Tom, he has just been blown up. His girlfriend has been kidnapped. His face looks like, you know,
Freddy Krueger.
I get what you're saying. Though. It goes against his morality.
I feel like the character changes after the.
Yeah, but
I don't think he changed to the point of being pro.
Just go murder.
I guess that's true.
Your romantic rivals and stuff. Yeah, I get you. It was a funny joke, but you're right.
But it undermines.
You're right.
The character is
100% agree.
Still 100%
agree. It is funny, but you're right. It doesn't work for that reason. But then they get to the shipyard. They are at the apartment, and he's loading up every gun. They've got guns everywhere. Weasel has armed him with every machine gun, and then he even goes to the old lady because he wants every gun. He's going to take Francis out, and he's telling the old blind lady, give it up. I don't have one. Give it up. You know, and he pulls out this like little Derringer gun he like puts in his pants. And so he has this huge duffel bag of artillery and weapons, and then they're walking out with nothing.
Yeah,
He left it in the cab.
Right. Yeah. So they end up, this is where we get the angel fight where she ends up knocking down Colossus. And
they've already shown you how strong Colossus is.
Right.
And now you're seeing this angel who's Gina Carano, who is no puny weakling.
No. And
I mean,
thank God she doesn't talk.
But she still isn't like a huge bodybuilder, and she's taking out this tank of a man.
Right. So this is the scene where she's like, all right, you're next. Yeah. And she's like messing with her phone. He's like, oh, no, please go ahead. Finish your tweet. I'm sure that's more important. And then she throws it. And this is where you see the costume.
Yeah.
And she takes off and knocks her into the like a freighter. He's like, boy, I feel bad for her. The first guy to pressure her into prom sex.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great line. And this is where we get it's just a massive fight scene where they're tearing like Gina Carano and Colossus are kind of off on doing their fight.
Vanessa is trapped in the same tank that he was trapped in when they made him into Deadpool. So they've cut the oxygen down very low,
right?
And she's basically suffocating out. And I think he throws a sword through.
Well, we're not there. Yeah, at this point he's still taking out all of the guards.
Yeah,
right.
This is where we get the amazing reference to Bob.
Yeah,
Bob is a character from the comics as well. Who is he's an AIM agent.
Yeah.
And he is like Deadpool's little buddy in three series ago. Like, he is constantly hanging out with Deadpool. So when they introduced Bob, I was like, that's brilliant.
It
like,
was amazing.
That was awesome.
He's killing all these guys, and all of a sudden he's like, Bob? And he's like, what are you doing here? And yeah.
They're just like, oh, TGI Fridays. He's like, yeah. And then he ends up punching him in the and like he doesn't kill him though.
No, he knocks
him out. He lets him go.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, Francis is up on top. He's like, what's my name? He's like, oh, I'm gonna spell it out for you. And this is where he looks down and all of the bodies are lined up and they say Francis with the head for the eye.
Yeah. And then just to put the cap on the Gina Carano thing, for people who may not know who she was Ronda Rousey before there was a Ronda Rousey.
She was. Yeah. Yeah.
She was the first attractive and badass MMA fighter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was not even, yeah, she was like a kickboxer and like over in Thailand yeah. and all. She was.
And she was in Haywire with Ewan McGregor,
which was a good movie.
She'll be doing all the Roadhouse direct to video sequels.
Yeah, correct. And then she was in.
I'm just
Fast
kidding. It won't be
six.
A big enough hit to justify.
No,
it.
Well, don't worry. No.
She was in Fast Six. She was the Rock's.
She was the Rock's partner. Then yeah. She was the she flipped and she was the bad guy.
Yep.
There was talk that she was actually romantically involved with Henry Cavill. And there was like, oh, well, obviously she's going to be Wonder Woman. And yeah. She was like there.
Yeah, there was talk about her for a while.
She was
going to
be Wonder Woman. Yeah,
she's
she was
got
like,
the build for sure. Like that yeah. would have been.
She looks like if you
strong.
Look at.
She would have been fantastic in that.
I don't know.
I just
that.
Don't think she has the
physically.
Personality.
Right. Physically, she has like, I don't, the that's acting
what,
chops.
What, well,
yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I think.
Gal Gadot has the charm and the way yes. she presents herself, like in that final trailer, talking to Bruce Wayne. It's like, wow, yep. that's awesome.
Yep. Well, I think that's why you're going to see. When she's done fighting, Ronda Rousey is going to have a much better acting future than Gina Carano because Ronda Rousey has the personality.
We'll see.
I'm
not saying she won't. I'm.
It's all relative.
That one
so.
Fast and Furious movie. She was pretty bad.
In fairness
really
to that, like,
bad.
I don't think she was supposed to be good. Like that whole, she's supposed to be there because it's yeah. it's almost like when they cast Mike Tyson in this new Ip Man movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like he's not going to be good, but yeah. you just have a guy that can
Mike
fight.
Mike Tyson is exactly. funny, like in The Hangover, though.
Well, yeah,
like,
but the character in the movie isn't supposed to
yeah,
be funny.
I gotcha.
Right.
Well, we'll see after Roadhouse. That's going to be the
Road.
Test because she's going to have her
Roadhouse.
She's going to have her. That's going to be her first leading role.
Yep.
And we'll see how
yep.
she does.
Yeah, we'll see how she does.
Lonely.
Or we could be shocked. I'm just saying. It's,
you never
it's,
know.
You never know.
Or only.
Or not.
So yeah, this is they have a big old fight sequence between these two, between Ajax and Deadpool, and Deadpool ends up getting the win. And then they like he and like she's pissed. Like she Vanessa is livid that he lied. Right. And then throughout the movie, he's tried to go see her, but then he see like. It's kind of they do a nice job of being like he sees his reflection and he realizes, good Lord, like there's no way I can talk to her like looking
right.
like this. She's
he
never
went to the strip club to talk to her and then
her,
saw
yeah.
her again
out.
And then yeah,
he
went to the bathroom.
Out, yeah. So this is where they start. Like he realizes he may have lost her and he kind of makes a joke throwback to the my life is worse than yours. And she accepts it. And then this is where you get the. I don't know what the line is almost like, you know what I think about that face? And he was like, no. She's like, I can't wait to sit on it.
Oh,
yeah.
It was,
I was like,
it was
we are back
after,
into, like, you get a really nice yeah. touching moment between the two. And then yeah. as soon as that's over,
well, it's
we
like
are
when,
right back into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like when says, Colossus is giving a speech, too. They do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, my God. That ending. Yes. So
my only complaint about the speech, when Colossus is giving his big speech about why he needs to embrace being a hero and do the right thing.
And not
the,
kill Ajax.
And
he
not kill
Ajax,
Ajax
at gunpoint.
And
right.
then he just shoots him in the head, which I knew that's where it was going.
Of course.
I felt like... The actor who was doing the vocal work for Colossus, like,
was related to Yakov Smirnoff.
No, I felt like he
missed
was,
the mark.
Yeah, I felt like he ruined is too strong of a word, but like he knew where it was going as an actor, and it was coming through in his performance.
Oh, I
and
see.
And so, like, because his line reading was almost tongue in cheek,
yeah.
instead of being like. Genuine.
I agree.
I
it was
agree.
Very
yeah.
like
yeah.
I'm building up to this funny thing that's going to happen.
Right.
Like,
where
you
it would
that.
Have been. It would have been like that's a perfect example of when comedy works better when you don't play it for laughs.
Mm-hmm.
And like
yes.
if he had played it straight, like it was just the sort of thing that if he had played it completely straight,
right?
Like you would have bought into it. Like okay, at the end of the day, he still needs to be a hero. That's not where we're going.
Right.
And then when he did it, it would have been that scene would have been
exponentially funnier.
I agree completely.
Like they needed a different line reading
from that actor. We all knew what was coming.
Instantly. Yeah. And it was still funny.
It was.
But it would have been way funnier because like they still could have had me on the hook to go, yeah, they're not going to... Plus, they don't want to kill off a villain because they want to...
Yeah, because Marvel and Fox like don't kill off villains. They're running out of villains at this point.
But I mean, they've been better about it than the DC stuff
has been.
That's true. You know, like about especially like a movie like this where there's just kind of one...
Right.
And he doesn't have a huge rogues gallery.
He doesn't have a rogues gallery.
Yeah.
And to my... I don't think so. Like, he's always just kind of been thrown... Like, he's an Avenger now, which is always weird. Like, he's on a team with Steve Rogers. Not in the movies, but obviously.
Right, yeah,
but
in the books, yeah.
It's just kind of like, okay. Like, I know, I understand he's your new Wolverine, but... All right, whatever. But yeah, so he ends up shooting Ajax in the head, and then Colossus pukes.
I thought that was kind of weird that Colossus pukes. I mean, after all the things that they've seen
That's where the character kind of is wrong. Like, Colossus wouldn't have puked.
No, but he's seen all this stuff. I get that he's, like, a good person and has morals, but he's not going to puke.
No.
He's an X-Men fighting and killing people.
Right. He's obviously seen blood before.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a little
I did like
off.
His reaction where he was like, oh, grow up. Like, what's wrong with you?
Right.
So they end up, everybody's leaving, and then... There's another interaction between him and Teenage Warhead where she's like, you know what? Yeah, I guess you're kind of cool. And like his reaction is amazing.
Yeah, that he got this teenager that doesn't care about anything to give him that praise.
Give him a little props.
That wasn't something mean.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, great.
And this is the other thing I will say is throughout all of these movies, Batman is really the only one that comes to mind. Is in this movie that the mask is as much of a character as Ryan Reynolds is.
Yeah.
And they do a great job of he almost never takes the mask off when he's Deadpool. Like he's always got the mask on.
Right.
But they do an awesome, like the CG on the mask is amazing because they use the eyes. Like they have the white eyes.
That's a trick they learned from the Batman books. Like if you read Batman enough over time, you'll notice that even though he's got a mask on, he still conveys emotion through
correct.
The mask.
Batman
like,
and Spider-Man.
Yeah. And so you'll see, they'll draw it in such a way that like his eyebrow will tick up
correct.
Or the eye holes will narrow, which obviously can't be a thing.
Right.
But they still treat it like it's his face and it's subtle. It's not like the eyes don't like pop if he's surprised, but
correct.
But they will like ever so slightly adjust what that mask looks like,
right? Exactly,
in order to convey emotion,
and that's what they do in this.
And they
very
they
well
stole
done.
That.
Yeah, and obviously,
and that's something that really they wouldn't have been able to do maybe 10 years ago.
Probably not.
I agree.
Especially with that small of a piece of mask where it's just your eyes, like it's nothing. Yeah. You know, and obviously, like you can't tell if he's smiling or anything. You can tell when he's breathing because they do the mask where he's breathing in.
But
out.
You do see his mouth like moving and stuff. Like it's really cool how they made it look.
It's almost like as bad as the Amazing Spider-Man 2 was. Like that costume and the way they did the costume was great because it's the closest they ever got to the comic book version. And I don't think they'll ever do it in the Batman movies. Because I just don't think they're ever going to have the balls to cover somebody's face like that.
Yeah,
especially when it's Ben Affleck. And then we get your credits, which were hilarious. Like you get like this nice little animated sequence with the credits, and then the after credit sequence.
The unicorn and the credit sequence.
The unicorn and the credit sequence was like go see, if you haven't seen it yet. Just I'm just gonna leave it as that.
Just the
like,
unicorn.
It's perfect.
There is one scene in the movie that's a callback. He is literally he has this unicorn.
Yeah.
He's like,
yes, and he's got it like attached to his head. And you know what? Not as offensive as Robert De Niro doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
You weren't supposed to see that.
Yeah, which was great. Like that's hilarious. But they keep referencing that where he's always taking like he's wearing like Crocs or something and he's always got his tub of lube and the unicorn that he walks away with. So the after credit sequence, spoilers, we're just gonna say it now just so you know, it's the Ferris Bueller ending where he walks out.
He
walks, it's the exact same hallway.
Yeah.
Yep.
He walks out in a bathrobe. He's like, what are you doing here? It's over.
The movie's over.
There's nothing here.
Why are you here?
Why are you here?
Go.
Go away. Go.
Is that the first after credit sequence?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's not?
No. There's a second one after that.
No. Is that the first?
No.
Is Ferris Bueller
so
doing
the first?
Oh. Yeah.
Who is the first?
The Muppet movie.
What was the Muppet movie?
At the very there was like a small like little like weird indie film that did it, but the first like mainstream movie that I'm aware of is the original Muppet movie.
Yeah.
If you remember it, when they go to the car lot, they find what Sweetums, the big huge giant, and they were like, "Do you want to come to you know, and be a movie star with us. And he's like, and he runs away, and then he comes out with his bags.
Yes,
and
you're
they,
right.
And they left him.
And they left him, and you're like, oh, man. Okay, at the very end of the movie, they do all the credits, and then he, like, come, he like bursts in. He's like, he made it. But,
right.
like, that's
awesome.
The movie's over.
The movie's over.
But the movie's, that's
nice.
The
okay.
end yes. of the movie.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
right.
Great.
I'm pretty sure that's the first...
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah. So he comes back, like, and then the credits start going a little bit, and then he comes back. He's like, "All right, look, we're just gonna, I'm just like, nothing's been said yet. Like, this is the first time we're gonna tell you. Cable is gonna be in Deadpool 2." He's like, "All right, there. Now you know. Now go."
And
go
he was
on.
Like, "I don't know who it's gonna be.
Right? We don't know. It hasn't been cast
Cause like,
yet."
Because I believe like the first scene, he's like, "What are you expecting?" He's like, "Are you expecting me to set up, you know, Captain America? Were you waiting for Sam Jackson to be here in an eye patch?" He's like, "It's not going to happen.
Right.
The movie's over. Go." And then he comes back. He's like, "All right, fine. Here's what I can tell you.
Cable will be in Deadpool 2.
Right.
Which, I mean.
It's going to be awesome.
The two of them have a very long history in the comic books together. They have their own series together. So it's going to be, you know, Stephen Lang, who was in Avatar, has already started petitioning to be Cable. And when you look at Stephen Lang, you're like, I could see it. Like,
who's Stephen Lang? Which one?
He's the military guy.
Oh,
in
he's
Avatar.
Avatar. Oh, yeah. He would fit.
He looks like he could be
he's
Cable.
He's huge. Yeah.
He's not Avatar.
Yeah.
Run, Die Hard.
That's pretty good. But yeah, so I was not shocked, but I was thankful that this turned out as good as it did.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It's really fun. It is a lot of fun.
I didn't think the jokes were quite as strong. Like, yeah. I think what they need to do is they need to, like, have their two guys that write it.
Yeah.
And then I also think they need to just hire a professional joke writer that does nothing but go through and punch it up
okay.
with better jokes and references.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
I was afraid coming into this that it was either going to be a 10 or a 1.
Yeah.
You were either going... I always equate Biloxi Blues when it comes to movies where the trailers had all the jokes in it.
Correct.
Because the trailer for Biloxi Blues was hysterical. And then I went to see the movie and wanted my money back.
See, I love Biloxi Blues,
every joke was in the trailer.
But yeah, like, it's not a jokey movie. There are funny parts, but it's really a story about this guy, and that guy's Neil Simon, if you like, you know, and that interests me. But I totally get what you're saying, that like, you could totally take I haven't seen the trailer, but you could totally, I see how you could very easily take 3 minutes out of that movie and make it look like it's just this uproarious riot.
It's like,
and
this
it's
one
not.
Where they have the regular trailer, the romantic trailer, all kinds of
different. But that was all tongue-in-cheek bait.
Absolutely.
And
that's,
you know, not legitimate bait.
No, that's
the
true.
People who knew Deadpool and knew what they were getting into, I obviously loved it.
Right.
I will be very interested to see what the word of mouth is for the casual comic book fan.
I'm interested to see the casual person.
Just, because comic book fans are going to be fine. Yeah. It's the average film goer.
I read one review, and if I can find it, I will send it to you guys. I think it was someone in San Francisco or someone Northern California who saw the movie and ripped it apart, basically saying that it, you know, there's no character substance. It's just violence for the sake of violence and dick and fart jokes for the sake of dick and fart jokes.
When it gets shot up right up Main Street.
Right.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Which, if you don't know what you're getting into and you're used to all these other Marvel movies where there is a fairly deep, complex plot that builds off the ones before it and sets up the ones yet to come.
Right.
This is not that movie.
No.
And, you know, I think if you're not prepared for that, you're going to walk out and go, "What the hell did I just see?" It's just a lot of violence and tits and fart jokes.
To me, like, it's the Watchmen complex. Like, I think
very good analogy.
I think Watchmen did great. It's first and maybe second week when all the comic nerds went to go see it, and everybody else that saw it was like, "I don't understand, I don't get it."
Yeah,
right. And it dropped off.
Where's the squid?
I think the difference here now, though, is that the cinematic superhero universe
is much more
mature now,
right?
And so I think you can deconstruct those films for the average film goer in a way that you couldn't before.
I agree.
Because it's become a cinematic language, and it wasn't quite there yet as a genre when the Watchmen film came out.
Right, right.
Well, you know?
Yeah. And I also think we're to the point now where we have gone through all of the tier one characters.
Like, they, well, all of, yeah, they have nothing left as far as like...
pretty much all of the household names have their own movie or Netflix show or something. So now you're digging into the hardcore fans. You know, I admittedly, when I heard about Guardians of the Galaxy went, there is absolutely no way...
The comic nerd, I was like, nope.
You're like, this will be their first misstep.
I was like, there is no way that you are going to get me to care about a movie where two of the main characters are a raccoon and a talking tree.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. And I
accepted
it. Loved it.
And so did the rest of the world.
Yeah. Well, they should have. Like, that movie was amazing.
And I think to Deadpool's credit, where Guardians of the Galaxy relied so heavily on the music, and it was a very period-centric, like, 70s-era pop hits in Guardians of the Galaxy, this is all 80s and early 90s pop and R&B. Yeah,
X gonna give it to you.
Between Wham and DMX and Salt-N-Pepa.
Don't forget, you got Juice Newton in there.
Yeah, like, I mean...
Right, in that who sings Angel of the Morning?
Yeah.
So you've got
the music plays such a key role in these scenes that I think Marvel realized with Guardians of the Galaxy...
Well,
our music is just as important as what else is going on.
I think that's the director. I think James Gunn and even Zack Snyder has. I mean, we joke about the budget of Watchmen. Half of it was the music.
It
was fantastic.
It was fantastic, but like he was using like
Jimi Hendrix and stuff like that.
Jimi Hendrix and Garfunkel and stuff like that.
And Bob Dylan.
It was so good though.
Set to those scenes and his visuals.
But it instantly set the time period because iconic songs.
100%.
I think before we wrap, the most interesting thing is that Fox had the balls to go with such a non-traditional marketing campaign.
I agree.
After they just got their dicks kicked in the dirt on Fantastic Four.
I think they knew what they needed.
But it's really ballsy, especially at a corporate level, to go, you know what? That didn't work. Let's do something totally different. Let's trust ourselves to do something totally different instead of going the safe route.
And I think that plays to the fact that somebody in Fox realized this is not Superman. This is not Batman. If we're ever going to take a swing at something non-traditional... it's got to be for this character.
Well, I think it also helped that it had a $58 million budget.
That's also true.
That was the catering budget on Fantastic Four.
I also think, you know, if Fox looks at what DC's doing, what Fox looks at what Warner Brothers is doing, and Fox looks at what Disney is doing, and they're like, look, they've got, the Warner's has their thing, Marvel has their thing, why don't we just do our thing?
Well, and I think Guardians probably did give them a template where they're like, you know what, let's do Guardians, but do it dirty.
Right. Yep,
because at the end of the day, not to take away from Deadpool, but that's what it is. It's a dirty Guardians.
Right, I agree.
So since you brought up DC, and you guys all seem to be fairly knowledgeable, not only in comics, but in the world of movies, at what point, and is it going to be Batman, Superman, where the people behind the DC movies finally get their heads out of their ass and figure out how to do movies? Because me as a casual comic book fan, DC has the better roster of heroes.
I respectfully disagree, but all right.
And again, like that's obviously a whole nother argument.
Right.
But
I'm
like,
a DC guy. Tom, you're a DC guy.
Dude,
yeah.
Like, if you go to the random person on the street and name five superheroes, I guarantee you the first two are Superman and Batman.
I don't disagree with that at all.
They have the most recognizable heroes of all history.
I think the problem DC has is that because their characters are so iconic, they're scared to touch them.
Yep.
And that could be part of it.
They're so scared to mess them up that all they ever do is mess them up.
Yeah. Aside from the Christopher Reeves Superman movies... the first two
which aren't that great in retrospect.
They're not.
They were great.
One and two are great.
And the
first two Batman movies of the 90s, and then the reboot that happened with the Dark Knight series.
Movies.
Yeah,
dude, like they cannot get anything right when it comes to DC movies.
They can't get anything right besides Batman. They got Batman right. Like the Dark
Finally.
Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises are right.
Brilliant.
Yeah. They can't get Superman right.
No.
And that's
but
the
Superman
shame.
That's but Superman's tough.
Do you think the success of Christopher Reeves and the stylistic way they made Superman in those movies handcuffing them trying to reboot Superman?
I'll tell you how you make Superman right, and then we will wrap up. You need to take Superman and you need to take that whole damn franchise and you need to set it in 1941.
I don't disagree. I think that would be fantastic.
A Superman when it's okay to love America.
Right.
When it's okay, like just that old, like,
cause same thing with the Fantastic Four.
He's so noble. Like to try and do that in today's world, it doesn't play.
It's like Captain America, how that works with the love America.
Right. Yeah.
Go America.
But then how do you bring the Justice League in?
You don't.
Because obviously DC right now is scrambling at the success of what Marvel has done.
Yeah.
And I think this is what scares me about the Batman Superman movie is this screams of we are playing catch up. And
it's
instead of giving each character in Justice League time to establish themselves the way that Marvel did, they're going to push everybody into this movie.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to go from having Batman and Superman to in one movie Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash.
Right. Green
Aquaman, Lantern.
What they needed to do was Batman, Superman, done. And then next time, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Yes. Like,
or you can, yeah, I agree.
You need to pace yourself, DC.
And they're not.
You need to take a deep breath. You need to think about baseball.
Something.
Just take a deep breath.
And that's what worries me.
Take it easy.
It just seems like, and again, it's obviously a personal preference, but it seems like DC, who has a murderer's row of heroes to pull from.
I don't disagree with that either.
Can't get anything right, and Marvel just kicks their
because
in
they did
every
it, they
turn.
Did it the right way. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They took Iron Man, and they've taken Falcon, and they've taken all these characters
and
now
they,
that are they took they, Guardians of the
they
Galaxy
did it slow, and they did it right.
Yeah.
When the first Iron Man movie was announced and came out, I audibly went, "There is absolutely no way."
He was like,
nobody
he was a
liked Iron Man.
I didn't see it. I didn't even see it in the theater. I was like, who cares about Iron Man?
Nobody, the
and
mainstream
was,
did
yeah.
not care about
and
Iron
I was
Man.
In a hotel in Chicago one night, and I was like, all right, there's nothing to do. I'm going to watch Iron Man. And I called my boss, and I was like, you're right. I'm wrong. That was amazing.
And he is now the most popular Marvel character.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. makes more than anyone.
Yep.
Yeah,
crazy.
For now.
So, well, that's it for Deadpool.
There it is.
Put a pin in it. Yeah. And I don't know what we're doing next week. I don't even know what's opening. So
we'll
figure it out. But I guess
the masked luchador or whatever. The masked saint.
Yeah, so let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
I'm still at Haas_A_Palooza.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, we have a rich and vibrant Facebook page where you can go and converse with us or comment or post things. And you can share episodes from there with your friends. And we greatly appreciate it when you do. You can join our League of Show Sharers. There's all sorts of fun things waiting there for you
all
in Facebook land at facebook.com/realspoilers. We're also on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or you can email us at realspoilers@reviewstl.com. Next week, I don't know.
We don't know.
We'll be doing something because we always do. We haven't failed you yet. Well, we might have failed you, but we've done shows.
We've done shows
consistently.
It's not been your fault that it's failed. It's been the box office.
So that's it for this week. And until next time, O'Shaughnessy kills Archer to implicate Thursby.
They call me Deadpool, I'm hella fast. Came to mark the bad guys and get some ass. Got blades for days, got guns galore. Got combo moves, evades and more. With bear traps and hand grenades. Pull the pistol like a maniac right in your face. Popping off caps, leave a trail of guts. Sitting on my chair, scratching my nuts. Don't stop when I shoot, full auto was on. Your ass is grass and I'm on the lawn. Hot lead to the head and I won't stop. What your crew gonna do when I hack and chop? All these bitches are prima donnas. I stuff my face with Jimmy Chongas. Tacos and beers, I was keeping it loose. Hang on for a minute while I'm dropping a deuce.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Yeah.